'Tis the Season of Giving. My name's Jose Mangan from SiriusXM and Affliction, and recently one of my idols in life, Tomas Araya, Tom Araya from Effing Slayer, came into town, and what I wanted to do was give him a really cool Christmas gift. So what I did is I made him some of my world famous award winning guacamole, which I actually won 4 golden mojitas for. I beat out people from the Food Network, man. That Chef Marcella chick, she's hot and sexy and stuff, but she came in a distant second place to my guacamole. So I made some of this stuff for Tom Araya and a bunch of cool, I like to call them metal taco locos, and I presented Tom Araya with 12 tacos and a brand new Affliction Easy Rider leather jacket, because I knew from his wife Sandra that he was gonna love that one. So I got his size extra large, I got the freaking tacos and the guacamole, and I went up the stairs in this venue. I went up and he greeted me at the backstage dressing room door. They were about to go on. Kerry King was in there just freaking riffing. Paul and freaking Gary were just practicing, getting ready for the show. They were about to headline. So I was like, hey Tom, I brought you a cool Christmas gift. And he was like, oh, Jose, you know, thanks, man. And I was like, I gave him the bag of tacos, and he was like, oh, dude. And I was like, there's some guacamole in there that's just for you, dude. And he was so stoked. And then I was like, and boom. And I pulled out the awesome Easy Rider leather jacket, the same one that I use all the time. And I was like, Tom, I want you to have this, dude. I was talking to Sandra, and we think that this is gonna be perfect for you. And he was like, dude, man. And so he put the tacos down, he put the jacket on, tried it on, and it fit him like a glove, perfect. And I was like, ah, you know, hit his shoulders, like, Tom, you look awesome, dude. And now you're gonna be fed and look cool. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to Tom, to Slayer, and to you. Yeah!
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
What the fuck is up? You're listening to Sirius Liquid Metal. I'm your host, Jose Mangan. With me is Jose Mangan. How's it going, Mangan?
Oh man, Jose, it's so fucking cool, man. It's so great, man. I'm so fucking excited to be on this show, man. I got my Slayer tattoo on my arm, dude. All fucking metal, dude. I was listening to Cold Chamber on the way here, bro. I'm fucking ready.
It's gonna be a brutal show, everybody. We're gonna drink some Jaeger, and then we're gonna blast some fucking Slayer.
Jose.
Hi, everybody. It's your boy, Joe Thrash and Kill, with me today by popular demand. I've got Brenicide, also my
popular
good...
demand.
Yeah, no, dude, people were going apeshit. They were like, yo, put Brenicide back on the show. Also have, by popular demand, 365 Days of Horror helping me out here. How's it going, 365?
Hey.
I was the one who messaged Joe to say, could you get that guy that's been on here back on here? That would be cool. That was me. That was popular demand. Could you get Jordan back on? He was nice.
I got
doxed.
I'll edit that. No, actually, I got a bunch of, it's funny, nobody listens to this show. Like, maybe, like, 20 people in the world listen to this show, and they were all like, yes, Brenicide, he's awesome. I love that episode. I want to hear more of that. So, given the people what they
pshaw.
Want. And what the people want is, number one, they want 365. They're like, that dude, he's cool. He knows what he's talking about. He's very chill. They want Brenicide. They're like, that guy's funny. He knows what he's talking about. I really like his old website. And more than anything under the sun, they want Jose Mangan, the man.
Oh, dude, I'm so psyched, man. I'm here, you know, with you guys getting fucking ready for some, you know, some toilet of shit or whatever. Man, you guys are fucking cool, dude.
If you don't know who Jose Mangan is, shame on you for not listening to every episode of the show. Let's go ahead and just a real quick wrap up. Jose Mangan is the main DJ and I believe station manager for SiriusXM's heavy metal channel, Liquid Metal, as well as their butt rock channel, Octane. He is a 30-something-year-old man, maybe a little bit older now, who meticulously grooms his eyebrows and only knows 4 metal bands, and yet he is in control of the biggest broadcasts of metal on Earth.
So, hey, well, I bet he knows more bands than that. I mean, if you ever call in to Enter the Trivia Pit, he might ask you about Pantera. and Metallica, and then Slayer. I'm blanking, man. I think it's only literally ever been those three fucking bands.
I was a subscriber to Sirius XM for many years, and I listened to a lot of liquid metal, mostly because I really, really respect and enjoy the work of Ian Christie, who's written a couple of books on the subject of metal that were really, really well done, including Sound of the Beast, The Complete History of Metal. I believe he did Murder in the Front Row, about the origin of Slayer. And he had a weekly show called a couple of weeks ago because everyone's favorite hate read, Metal Sucks, decided to give Jose a little dap this week. And it got me agitated in a way that listicles don't get me agitated. I normally don't care like who your favorite Avenger is or which minion is the hottest. It's Metal Sucks' list of the 25 most important people in metal, and their selection for number 9, Jose Mangan!
Like, I knew I was going to rank high on this list, but I'm starting to get a little nervous. I think they're up to 7 already, guys. I mean, if you're listening, you know, don't make it too high, but at some point.
I mean, Prentisod is easily a top 3 pick. I don't want to, like, give you the number 1. I'm not, you know...
No,
I'm no talents.
I'm no Rob Halford, who was what, number 23 or some shit, and then Jose Mangan was number 9. You know, so seems fair.
I guess the thing is that I can't disagree. Jose Mangan is an important person in metal, in that he has a lot of control over what is played on the biggest heavy metal station in the world. The problem is that he plays the same shit that's been popular for 20 years. If you like Machine Head, you're going to hear a fuck ton of Machine Head.
That guy loves Machine Head. I've never seen someone just adore Machine Head so completely.
I don't get it. I would rather listen to Silence than Machine Head, personally.
just 20 minutes of Silence.
Rob Flynn probably doesn't like Machine Head as much as he does.
Did you know that Rob Flynn was adopted as a child?
I did not know that.
Yeah, no, he was like in and out of foster homes and stuff. Like I don't know why I like found this out. I hit Wikipedia and he was just, I guess he was kind of in foster care most of his life or something. And I guess that explains why he's so pissed off and he's always smashing his hands on desks and stuff when he talks about things he doesn't like.
He did a folk song the other day, which gave me a clear indication that he's never played an acoustic guitar in his life because he was downstroking every single pick.
Was he like palm muting the acoustic?
Yeah, and it was real stilted and awkward, and he, you know, I kind of want to play it on here, but I also don't want to make people sit through it since I made them sit through Design the Skyline last week.
Did you guys do that?
Oh, yeah, we totally did that.
You bastards.
You know, it's the listeners need context for what we're talking about, and you can't have full context of what Design the Skyline is if you've never heard it. That's service journalism, man. Like, we're in it for the fans. Anyway, getting back to this write-up that Metal Sucks did of Jose Mangan, I wanted to call the first... the first couple of statements here in the second paragraph, I'm quoting Vince Neilston here, who I think is a nice guy. I like him. When Jose gets behind a band, he fully gets behind them, using all of his might to will their success into existence. Gojira, 12-foot ninja, Byzantine, and Five Finger Death Punch are just a few of the bands for whom Jose's efforts have been hugely consequential. So, I mean, I think Vince is the only person in America that's actually a huge fan of Byzantine. Like, do any of you people know anyone that's like, Byzantine? Yeah, that's a shit, man.
I have one of their albums, but I mean, whatever. They're a good band.
Gojira's been around for forever, dude, and their latest album was butt rock anyway. 12-foot ninja is new metal for the new generation. And Five Finger Death Punch is the soundtrack to Sexual Assault. So,
wow.
I just can't comprehend the balls that Vince had to just sit there and be like, well, I write for Metal Sucks, and I'm trying to talk about the good that this guy has done for the genre, and now I have to type the words Five Finger Death Punch and see if it works out. I guess the way to define Jose Mangan's library of favorite listenings is he really likes those bands where there's like a quiet part where the singer's mad and he just in between words he like sucks through his teeth. Machine Head is it's like infamous for this, where it's like, "Your sweet little lies, and I'm gonna hit you in the face, and I hate you." Just like that kind of shit. Very Slipknot-y, very
yeah, that's a new metal staple of the breakdown. Don't mess with me, I'm so crazy. Spoken word.
Don't listen to me, I've got a mental illness.
I mean, that was Cold Chamber's big hit Loco. That's the big part of it, is he sucks it in and then yells go.
Yeah, you clench your teeth for people who are listening, and you wanna try this at home, little home activity for the kids. You just put your teeth clenched right to a microphone, just breathe out and just suck it in, just like, I hate my mom.
David Draymond can owe his career to that, by the way. just no, mommy, don't do it again. Don't be a good boy.
Oh, man.
And now I see Geriatric sharing his fucking Sounds of Silence cover on Facebook. This metal singer sang a song. What happens next will shock you.
It's so beautiful.
Fuck that Howie Mandel looking motherfucker.
Yeah, anyway, I love his chin tusks.
I respect that he's nearing 50 and still keeping them.
Chin tusk, man. I respect the fact that literally nobody else in the universe has followed suit on that. Nobody. Not a single person in the like history of piercings I have seen a guy walk by with any kind of statement piece like that.
I bet if you go to something like Rocklahoma, you'll find a bunch of dudes with that.
Rocklahoma. Oh, man.
Before we get off Jose Mangan, he tweeted about being listed on Metal Sucks 25 Most Important People, and I'd like to read it to you now.
Please. Oh, please.
Holy shit, wow, guys. Feel like I died or something. !! Ha ha. Thanks, with an X, so much at Metal Sucks. That was the number one. One of the coolest things ever written about me.
Really?
He types like he talks.
There is no way that Vince actually likes this dude. Like, this had to be a difficult thing for him to, like, sit down and write about.
And the thing is, like, if you actually read the article, there's not that much to it. I can't imagine this sort of, like, piss, shit, and venom that's just filling up the garbage dump of online vitriol regarding this guy, where he thinks this stuff is like, oh my god, someone said something kind of nice about me, and he's just weeping, and he's writing these heartfelt tweets. I can only imagine he's just world hated.
I don't know. He seems like one of those people who is just blissfully unaware of everything around him, and he kind of surrounds himself with the kind of people who are also into the same shit that he's... It's a typical L.A. thing. Like, this guy's brain turned to star fucking goo years ago. So, he surrounds himself with people, like, young bands that want to be on his show, or on his radio station, and then, like, old dudes like Phil Anselmo that he can just tongue bathe every week.
One thing And this is like hearsay. I'm not 100% sure of this. I'm not sure how accurate the statement is, but I heard Jose kind of talking about it on one episode of his show. So I'll just kind of talk from what I remember. But apparently he had some part in, or he was on the panel for the Grammy Awards in 2016. He had something to do with it. And he was talking about how Grammys have been really bad to heavy metal in the past, which I absolutely agree with. And I was listening to him talk and I was like, yeah, that's true. Okay. It's good. We got a guy who maybe might have something to do with metal involved in that. And then when you actually look at the panel, or rather the nominees for 2016, and you have such, you know, brilliant features as August Burns Red, Lamb of God, Seven Dust, and of course the actual winners were Ghost. I think I might be forgetting one or two, but I just, like, I can't believe he went off about how it's like, oh yeah, man, the fucking Grammys, dude, they've been so stupid for so long. And so, you know, I was like, dude, we gotta get a metal guy up in there. We gotta get some Seven Dust, you know? And I'm what happened here? How did this, like, how could we have someone with that mindset who has known how terrible the Grammys have been to this genre since the Grammys' inception? And he comes in and he just pretty much does a very typical list of nominees.
As a quick aside about Seven Dust, I saw Seven Dust once. You know who they opened up for? Creed.
Creed.
I was in like the seventh grade, but you know, you can't, whatever, fuck it.
Did you guys know that I wrote some lyrics for Creed?
I did not.
I'm going to share them real quick, and then we're going to get back to what you were doing. Okay, ready? Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I just heard the news today. Scott Stapp is broke. Got no place to stay. No retirement plan. No 401k. Seems like a good time to declare bankruptcy. His account's on open. Now doesn't that bite? It was the IRS. They took everything. His account's on open.
Scott Stapp is listening to this and just bawling his eyes out right now.
Hashtag blessed.
Holy shit, I completely lost my train. Oh, yeah.
Good, as you should have. That was quite a train wrecker.
Every time that I think about Scott Stapp, I think about how many people forgot that he filmed a sex tape with Kid Rock where they were banging hookers together.
Oh, okay. I thought we were just going to end the conversation at Kid Rock. I didn't
know.
If
we're going to talk about like Kid Rock, probably talk about how he's a piece of shit who did meth with Scott Stapp and banged hookers together.
So it shows how there's just such few degrees of separation from truly terrible people and the people that Jose Mangan like wants as nominees for the Grammys. You know,
so SiriusXM, the station Liquid Metal, has its own Wikipedia page, and it includes some basic information about like what the regular programming is on the show, like when it premiered. What kind of bands it typically features. And on the DJ section, it includes an entry for each person who's a regular DJ, including, of course, top billing, Jose Mangan. And if you read through this, you guys have read a Wikipedia page before, right? Have you done that before? Have you heard about this Wikipedia thing?
No, I don't. What is it?
So it's an online it's elves write it.
I get it. So it's like a library, but you got like an internet on it.
Right. So generally, a third party expert or somebody directly involved with the subject is going to write these stubs to include information about it. But let me read a little bit, just a couple of sentences of his biography here. On the Wikipedia page, and you can let me know if anything forms in your mind. Jose Mangan started his radio assault in Arizona as metal director of the U of A's college radio station in Tucson. As a graduate student in pharmacy over in Memphis, Mangan landed a killer gig in radio and ended up choosing a life of rock and roll over medicine.
Source needed.
that's one. He wrote this himself. Jose wrote his own description.
Isn't calling something killer kind of anecdotal for Wikipedia? You really have to like find a way to source that. Like, how do we know that his gig was actually killer without, you know, proper big bibliographies?
Yeah, I don't know that I would call it a radio assault as much as I would call it a radio annoyance. Here we go. Continuing again. Throughout the years, Mangan has helped to revolutionize rock radio, citation needed, and has lined up some pretty impressive awards and praise for his efforts, citation, and including being name-checked by Metallica's James Hetfield in Rolling Stone magazine. Wow. What kind of a star-fucking prick are you that you have to talk about James Hetfield saying your name once? I just want to include blah, 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 blah. And is the father of two horn-throwing metal chicks.
Oh, I feel dirty.
Raised since birth on heavy music. Jose lives his dream 24/7 at Sirius XM and is stoked to be bringing the music to the masses.
What kind of a bastard would call his own daughters like horn-throwing metal chicks? Yeah. Like, what the fuck is that, man?
So, Jose, he started his assault on music while at Arizona in college in 1995. I'm almost 30. I started college in 2006. So that's got to put him at 40-ish.
Yeah, I'd probably say he's about 40. He's a nice young 40, though. I mean, look at those eyebrows.
Oh, my God. Jose Mangan is probably, like, if you were to meet him in person, I'm sure he's a perfectly nice guy and all.
Yeah, I mean, look, the kids that I beat up in high school were nice kids. It doesn't, you know, didn't have anything to do with why I beat them up. It was just their pants were weird, and I just had to pull them down and laugh at them.
This is all about metal, bro. Since I've been a little baby, I've been a fan of this music, and to be able to talk to people that I love and I'm inspired by, you know, whether it's Pantera, Metallica, Sepultura, whoever it is, these guys, we owe them, you know, and this is one of my jobs is to pay respect to those dudes, man. So,
do you want to hear his personal interests listed on Facebook?
No. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You do. You really do.
Okay. All right. So does it get R-rated? Does he talk about like hot tub clubs and
what is a hot tub club, Brett aside?
Well, you know, it's when mom's asleep, dad gets his coat on and his hat, and he goes and he meets his guy friends at the hot tub clubs, bathhouses, you know.
Okay. I know what a bathhouse is. I've never heard of a hot tub club in my life.
So that's live podcasting for you, baby. Is when Brendan can't remember the word bathhouse, so he's got to really rack his brain. He's like, pretty sure it's called a hot tub club. Yeah, we're gonna work with that one.
I think bathhouses need like a rebranding. And if you were to say that it's a hot tub club, I mean, not only is it exclusive, but
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that if we're gonna rebrand bathhouses as hot tub clubs, we're gonna need like a spokesperson. You know, someone who's got lots of pizzazz. Maybe he's not too tall. You know, not too short. I'm thinking like a guy with some Latin flavor. Maybe a sick, slick looking mohawk and some cool earrings. Do you guys know anyone like that, or do you got
Louis
anybody?
Anderson?
Louis Anderson.
Gross. Oh, I want Louis Anderson to be the spokesperson of everything. If he would be like the new, I don't know, Jimmy Dean sausage guy, that would be great.
Jose Mangan, come wash my back.
Jose Mangan, the interest that he includes on Facebook.
Hot tub clubs.
Can you guess the first one?
Sucking toes.
Sucking feet for coke.
It's weird that you say this, and we'll get around to it. But you guys, you're on some kind of path that you're probably correct about. Anyway, the personal interest. The first one is all caps metal.
Does he have the the backslash and then the letter M and then the forward slash?
No, because he's a fucking poser. The second one, Pantera, all caps.
Oh my God.
My beautiful daughters, good for him. My sexy wife.
So metal. Wait. Metal and Pantera beat out his wife and kid.
Yes.
Is his wife named David? Or?
Oh. Okay, so
you can edit that out.
No, it's fine. I'm just going to continue here. My AZ Familia, because he's, of course, Latino. And you covered this the last time.
What was that?
I believe it would be my Arizona Familia.
Oh, right. I was going to hang out with my Arizona Familia.
My cool dog, Rocky. Good for him. Then the next one, Dimebag. Of course.
So he's got Pantera.
And Dimebag. Separate entries.
Like four interests later, he's got to put Dimebag in there.
This should tell you all you need to know about the diversity of radio that you're going to hear on his programming. I like all kinds of music, country and Western. So it goes on, Sirius XM, Howard Stern, and then it gets a little suspect. Dean Guitars, okay, I like guitars. Crank Amps, Red Monkey Watches, Black Premium by Affliction. Okay, are you just telling me the shit that you're endorsing right now? Like, who's paying you for this dumb bullshit?
Getting real specific.
Yeah.
I can tell you something, man. I have a Crank amplifier, and the thing is loaded with 6550s. Not to get too much into like amplifiers and all that stuff for guys who don't do music, but this thing, I mean, it's 120 watts, 6550s. It should be like the fattest sounding amp ever. And something about Crank amps is it's like, even though they're $1,000 plus and they're all tube and everything, they still manage to sound like a solid state Randall. And I don't know.
That's because that was Dimebag's other amp, right? He had Randalls and Cranks, didn't he?
I heard that he got endorsed by Crank, right? Kind of more towards the end of his life, or maybe, I don't know, maybe a little earlier than that. But I heard that he actually hated his Crankenstein and he didn't like how it sounded. So what he would do is he had like a technician dismantle his Crankenstein, put the guts of a solid state Randall RG inside of it, and then he would just play the Crank like housing with the Randall inside of it, like on stage, because that's just what he likes.
That is amazing. That's an American hero.
Yeah, it's a rumor, it's hearsay, but that's what I heard. So citation needed.
Getting back to what you guys were saying before, I just wanted to, near the bottom of his interests here. Beer. Fine tequila, my man cave,
tequila,
tattoos.
Fucking Slayer tattoos?
Tattoos, hot chicks and their feet/high heels.
God,
he's a foot fetishist. He includes it in his interest somewhere beneath his daughters.
Okay, so he does suck toes, man. Jordan's right on. That's amazing.
No hot tub clubs that we know of, but definitely...
not yet.
Why was I given these powers for evil and not good?
Jordan is just, like, in his room, and his head just hurts, and he hears, like, a high-pitched ringing, and he's just like, I can tell this guy's into diapers!
Does it work for, like, all celebrities or just metal dudes? Like... Are you like,
yes,
Bob Saget is into Roman showers?
It's kind of like the worst superpower ever. He just goes into like metal shows and his ears bleed and he's just like, you know.
Corrupt with images. What else can you tell us? What other disgusting, perverted shit are people into?
I don't know.
I think we roasted this turkey pretty well. Is there anything else we really need to talk about before we flush him down the toilet forever?
I think that for the last 20 minutes or so, or however long we've been talking about Jose Mangan, I've just had this kind of like sheen of disgust over myself, and I just haven't been able to really kind of, I haven't been able to formulate like a serious thought because there's so much about the guy to kind of cover. Is he a bad guy? Is he like, you know, mean and mean-spirited? Of course not. No, I'm sure he's a perfectly nice guy. And I kind of want to come on and say that I think it was really big that Metal Sucks acknowledged him. And Metal Sucks just never ceases to impress me that they keep publishing what they publish, the opinions that they have and the statements that they like to make, in spite of every single human being that comments on their page and reads what they write. I've never seen such a popular blog be hated so severely. And this is considering my own. I mean, like, maybe 4 out of 5 people actually is like, hey, nice article, Brennan. That was funny. But there'd be one guy that would hate it. Now, a guy like Axel Rosenberg or a guy like Vince Neilstein or Emperor Rhombus or whoever's writing whatever on that site, it doesn't matter what it is. There's just – they have some black magic where they just – they make you hate them and you hate what they have to say and you disagree with them like almost immediately. It's just – it's mind-blowing. And I think they're really onto something here. I think they're they got a good business going, and I'd really like to like pick their brain one day and be like, how do you do it? How do you find a way – to make everybody so miserable reading your stuff all the time.
Personally, I like Vince Neilstein. I think we've chatted a little bit privately, and I think he's a cool dude.
They're cool dudes.
Even so, I totally disagree with almost everything that he publishes.
Yeah, no, it's just how it is. Like I know he's a cool dude. I know he's got excellent taste. I know these things. I've seen him on Twitter. I've seen him kind of, you know, out about saying his things and the shirts he wears and all this stuff. But him and Axel, they just have this way with words where you just immediately want to go to the comments section and agree with every Neanderthal in there. Just like,
you're posers. You guys have short hair and wispy beards and you're fucking lame.
Brennicide, I don't know if you know this. As a matter of fact, like if anybody came around in the last year or so, they might not know it, but the Toilet of Hell originated from the comments of Metal Sucks.
I believe it, man.
We were all regular commenters, and there was a guy, Riot at 666, who would regularly flush every article down the Toilet of Hell. And that's where we got the name from. That's where we met most of the core writers still today for the blog.
Wow. That's really something. You guys kind of had like your own private toilet at Metal Sucks. Sort of upgraded to your own just massive toilet. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how you could. Where do you go? Like a penthouse shitter?
We got a premium digs now. Premium crapper.
Yeah, it's like before you guys just had to piss in a trough over at Metal Sucks, but now you got the I don't know what the thing is called where it sprays your butt in Japan, but you got one
bidet.
Of those.
We got a bidet. Man.
A bidet, yeah. It's French for butt spray.
So I mean I don't know what it is about Metal Sucks, but we spawned from it, so it's something. It is definitely something.
So
Jose,
it's a cultural powerhouse of just internet anger.
that is exceptionally true. Jose Mangan, I think he sucks. I think that he completely misuses the wonderful platform that he's given. That being said, I don't think he's a bad person. I don't actually wish him any ill will. He's not like, there are so many terrible people in metal that deserve horrible things to happen.
Legitimately bad people. He's not one of them. Something. Yeah, right. This is something I had to explain to people, kind of writing what I wrote and making fun of things. And sometimes people would be like, you have no idea how good of a person this guy is and you're talking trash. And I likened it to just being kind of like an 8th grade bully. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, look, you know, I don't want to research the thing that I'm making fun of. I don't want to get to know it. I don't want to do all the things that I need to in order to get all the information first, because I'm sure I would get some sort of Stockholm syndrome after spending so much time with said thing. And then I would, you know, not want to be mean about it.
Yeah. You're not writing a profile piece for the New Yorker. You're trying to tear something down.
Exactly. So it's like, I'll make fun of Jose Mangan, but I don't hate Jose Mangan. And I just, you know, he never wronged me in any way. He's just so easy. You know what I mean? It's just easy. It's almost too easy. It's just, it's so fun to just be mean to him.
And I think on that note, we should close with some words from the man himself.
The pink beard in the sky, dude, is always looking down for us, dude. So I'm getting a cool dime mural on my leg, and I got the Cowboys from Hell tattoo in Rex Brown's hotel room in Hollywood, California, before I hosted Dime Bash in one of those years.
It doesn't get better than that, by the way.
So Rex was like there watching his tattoo artist tattoo me before we went and did a Pantera event.
Normally, I would I would play a song that I like, that I found this week to go in between our segments here. But I can't think of anything more appropriate than hearing the man himself, Jose Mangan, covering some Pantera, his favorite band, and doing it acoustically and with much gusto, I might add.
This is going to be great.
365, you found this and you sent it to me, and it blew my mind.
I did. See, I don't listen to Sirius, so I didn't really know about this guy until we started talking about him a few weeks ago. So I decided to look him up just like on YouTube to see if there were clips of him, see what he was like. And as I was entering his name into the search bar, it started auto-filling with Jose Mangan singing. I'm like, well, I got to check this shit out. And I found this little clip, and the best way to describe it is like an audio snuff film.
Well, there you have it, folks. Instead of a cool death metal song or a speed metal track, you get Jose Mangan. We'll be back in a bit.
What's up, brother? Here we go. It's a little Mouth for War acoustic style. Jasmine, Kane, and Chad Lee. No, tacos, man, that'll cost you extra.
I'll make the tacos while you're getting tattooed.
All right, well, maybe. Okay, I'll eat your tacos. I just made tacos, man, for King, this band King, yesterday at my house. I took the day off of work to make these mother effers tacos. Here we go, ready?
That's how I roll.
Well, I'm just sorry. Just sorry. Here, let's just pick it up. So it's like, you know. I'm screaming revenge again. Wrong. I've been wrong for far too long. Been constantly so frustrated. I move mountains with glass.
Hey guys, we're gonna get right back into our insane off the rails discussion. But before that, I just wanted to remind you that we are doing our Christmas/Hanukkah/Kwanzaa/whatever holiday gift-giving exchange coming up in a couple of weeks. If you're interested in sending us some stuff that we're going to open on air, we'll talk about it, we'll describe it, and we'll thank you personally. Please send an email to toiletofhell@gmail.com and make the subject Randall Smells. And we will send you our addresses, and we'll get it all done. Thanks.
All right, guys, welcome back. As you are into the trivia pit, man, and we got Tommy here. Hey, Tommy, man, where you from, dude? Come on, man, tell me where you're from, man.
I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. Where are you from?
Dude, come on, man. I'm from Liquid Metal, man. Come on, guys. What's going on, dude? You're fucking crazy, man. Come on. All right, dude, so, okay, where you from again? You're from South Dakota or something?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, South Dakota, man. Fucking cool, man. In South Dakota, man. Where they got them rocks with the faces, you know, man. It's fucking cool, man. Metal as fuck, man. Do you think they use, like, I don't know, like metal spikes or something to make those? Dude, that'd be fucking metal, right, man?
No, rock is not metal. I mean,
so listen, Tommy. Hey, man, listen. So it's all right, dude. You're at round two, and this is a very famous. It's called Name That Riff, okay? And how it works is what we do is we play a metal song for you. And you have to get it right. It could be Metallica, you know, it could be the Mighty Slayer, you know, and I got a fucking Slayer tattoo right on my arm, man. It's fucking, oh, dude, it's sucking off the hook, man. I got a Slayer tattoo, but hey, never mind. Okay, so, Tommy, South Dakota, Lawnmower Repairman, I want you to look to the lawnmower gods. And I need you to name that riff.
Oh, what's his name? Living La Vida Loca.
By who?
That's an excellent question. You just told me to name the riff. You didn't tell me I had to name the artist.
Well, yeah, see, that would make sense. But on this show, you have to actually do that. If you listen to Liquid Metal, that's what it is.
Ricky Martin.
All right, dude. Awesome. Stick, dude. Bing, bing, whatever the fuck. So listen, man. Hey, so you got 26 wrong. But wait, that's okay because you have 47 lifelines, you know, because I know any fucking guy in the whole world could win this show. So don't even worry about it. But I'll tell you what, man, you know, we're going to wrap it up here. We're not going to send you anything. But hey, man, that's okay. You did a great job. So, hey, it's great, man. Have a good day. All right. Take it easy.
So do either of you guys have this article in front of you so that we can give a little bit of context to what we're talking about here?
No.
Yes, I've got it right in front of me. Do you want me to read it?
I refuse that.
Give us some context.
So basically, you know the band, Axing Axaxos. Ben Bruce, guitarist, has had a child, and they decided to start a show and record him ruining his child's future. And the first 5 episodes will premiere tomorrow, which will be December 1st. So it'll be last Thursday for y'all when y'all hear this or whatever. Via his YouTube channel. So not only is he making a show, it's just, I would have to do some research to figure this out, but it looks like he's just literally self-producing this and then posting it on his YouTube just for no reason. Like, there's no...
I would assume that he's going to put some ads before and after this so he can get paid.
It's literally by Ben Bruce Media. He's got like a crappy logo that he looks like he paid a college student $25-$50 to make. And they just picked a cool font they found for free on the internet.
That's what I was about to say. They just did that.
Dude, right? Like, that font is terrible.
Is it Bleeding Cowboy?
Yes.
No, that would make it better, actually, I think. But no, it's the Daddy Diaries in the first letter. Albus, get out of here. The first letter of every word is underlined for some reason. And, oh my gosh, he is looking at that mic. He is going to swat it. Okay, he's gone.
It's weird that a real station like Bravo or A&E didn't want to spend millions of dollars picking this up for their channel.
Right? You would think that a wise channel like that would pick up a superstar like Ben Bruce.
Or a train wreck. Either one.
Yeah, but say train wreck might be more accurate.
I remember a couple of years ago, Danny Warsnop, the vocalist, former and now... current vocalist of Asking Alexandria, said that he was going to release a autobiography. And it blew my mind reading this excerpt that he put out for it, because number one, it wasn't edited, and it was clearly written by somebody who has roughly an eighth grade education.
We're back on eighth grade, man. And it's like, I think when it comes to Asking Alexandria vocalists, there's like eras in the same way that there was Van Halen and Van Hagar. It's like there's Asking Warsnop, and then there's, I don't know, Asking that other guy. I don't actually know who he was.
There was that brief period that Gary Cherone sang for Asking Alexandria. nobody likes that period. Anyway, Warsnop claimed that he was a millionaire in this excerpt, and it got me thinking, how? Because, I mean, this was roughly 2010 or so, and, you know, records don't sell the same anymore. It's still really niche music, even though it's, you know, for dudes like us, some poser Hot Topic shit, it's still harsh vocals. It's still not going to get played, like, on any mainstream radio station. How is this guy a millionaire? Who's going to publish his fucking autobiography, and who's going to read it? These people can't read it.
Well, think about the festivals and shows and tours they were playing, though. I mean, they were playing some pretty high-profile stuff that would earn them a pretty nice guarantee. And as well as, I would have to check the numbers, but I imagine their albums sold pretty well because they were very popular for what they were doing, right?
Well, I mean, they were very popular.
How that dude is an individual.
if you look at the very top, like the top echelon, you've got like fucking Slayer.
fucking Slayer.
And
that's all I
know,
got.
I don't know that they make more than a couple million dollars in, if that, in performances per year. Like, most of their money is coming from the marketing machine.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know how he as an individual is a millionaire.
Living at home?
Do what?
Makes sense.
He was living at home the whole time and had no real expenses other than drugs and alcohol.
I mean, that's just smart business. Kids, if I've learned anything in my years, if you can live at home, do that. Fuck, save all your money.
If you're trying to be a musician, definitely live at home, because you're not going to make any money.
Unless your mom's a bitch.
Look, Man of War, Joey still lives in his mom's house, and we're talking about Man of War, okay?
I believe that. His mom makes him Hot Pockets every day.
No, he actually lives at home. That's not, I'm not making, he literally lives there.
Well, he's
mom,
Italian,
you're
right?
A poser!
He's not a poser, he just loves his mother, that's all.
There's nothing more true than living in your mom's basement at like 56 years old, yeah.
Dude, man, you gotta support true metal, and sometimes that requires you to make some sacrifices, like, you know, no drinking in the house after 9 p.m. and bedtime lights out by 11, no noise after 10.
Is Joey married? Because I just imagine his home life is something like it, Everybody Loves Raymond.
Do you think that when they talk about Leave the Hall, they're talking about, like, his mom's hall with, like, all the rooster decorations and
oh, my word.
Like, old...
I don't know. I'm looking on his Wikipedia page at the moment. And
did he edit that himself?
Probably.
Does he describe himself as rockin' at any point?
No. True. No. No. There's not very. It's a pretty bare bones article. There's not much out. Like that they can reference. I guess there's not much they can put in his profile page on Wikipedia. But I don't think he's. Doesn't say anything about him being married. He might just be not big enough that people care. Well, I think if he's married.
Well, marrying a dragon isn't legal yet, so...
Manowar doesn't really care about dragons, though. They just care about muscles and leather and steel.
Listen, I think if we can find any sort of source or citation that will state whether or not his mom leaves him space in the driveway to park his sick-ass motorcycle... I think we should edit the Wikipedia article and put that somewhere. Or perhaps the comet that he rides.
So if he's a big fan of muscles and oil and leather, do you think he's a member of a hot tub club?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, as of 2011, he still lived with his mother, officially.
His mother's a saint.
I don't think these guys make a lot of money and on any scale of popularity. It's like if you're not in the big four and... You're not selling stuff to teenage girls. You're really not slinging anything in this.
Dude, I'm looking at Steve DiGiorgio's discography. If he gets any kind of percentage of all these albums, and he's actually probably doing okay because he's played on like 50 albums at least.
See, I thought Joey DiMaio was doing okay, but he's living with his mom. So what do I know?
Well, yes, like he has his own label, and you know he's got Manowar and. They sell, they've been around since the 80s, they sell well, but at the same time, and I know they charge exorbitant guarantees for their shows and also exorbitant ticket prices.
Yeah, but, how'd that go for their last tour?
Swimmingly, they definitely played the entire tour and didn't back out of any dates. I want to see Manowar once in my life because they are absolutely one of my favorite bands, but I don't excuse Joey for being notoriously a tool.
So, I mean, like, Manowar is supposedly coming to an end very soon. What is he going to do when, like, the very small gravy train is coming to an end?
I mean, I don't know his personal financial situation. I guess I imagine it's not great, but I imagine he's not, you know, eating ramen every night either.
Comic book convention.
I mean, yeah, his mom wouldn't make ramen. She makes it a gabagoo.
Oh, my gosh.
I imagine he's, like, that guy on Big Bang Theory that lives with his mom, and his mother is just some like faceless screamer off in the distance every time. Like, Joey, where's the Gamaco? Isn't out of the oven yet.
Who are you talking to?
Do you have a girl over?
Turn down that goddamn motorcycle.
You're waking up the fucking neighbors.
It's like he comes home. It's like, what is the movie? stepbrothers. Mom! Mom! Meatloaf!
I know we're joking around here, but I absolutely believe that's what his real home life is like.
I'm sure we could see all that a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I have a second degree connection, I guess, with what's the redheaded guitarist of the Bangs. And he's a nice guy. And Eric Adams is apparently a pretty top class guy. It's just Joey, which is everybody's problem because he runs the band. It's his thing. And he's a douchebag to everybody. I mean, he screwed over Rhapsody. And Fabio and Luca are super duper nice. And he screwed them over. Like, you don't do that.
Yeah, man.
You know who I've never heard a bad word about in my life?
Who?
Ross the Boss. Sorry, Boss the Ross. That's what I meant.
yeah, Boss the Ross is great. Ross the Boss, I like him a lot as well, but I don't know him. But if I'm lucky, I might be opening for him still next May. That would be pretty rad.
Nice. Yeah, you can get the inside scoop on Joey. We should probably wrap up the show.
Everyone's so deflated. Well, I guess we should stop.
I guess we have to quit now, guys. My mom says I have to come home.
Joey, you used all the fucking shampoo again, you red bastard!
Get off the phone.
Joey,
no, you only have 60 minutes a month of phone time.
Joey, get off the dial-up. I need to make a phone call.
All right. What else do we want to cover before we call it for the day?
I survived a tornado.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
I don't even think it touched down within 5 miles of my house, but I survived.
On the off chance that he does listen to this show, I'm not too worried about it because, I mean, I could say something. He just strikes me like the kind of person, if I say, like, Jose Mangan is a talentless douchebag, he's just like, here is Jose Mangan his talent. He's like, thanks, man. It's just...
He's a rockin' toe sucker.
He would be like, oh, good. If you're not making enemies, you're doing something wrong.
It's like those Def Heaven guys. They're like, dude, oh, it just comes with exposure, man, you know?
Dude, every punk on my scene thinks, oh, man, if I'm not... I made enemies, that means I'm doing something right. No, it just means you're an idiot. That's all it means.
You suck, bro. It means people don't like you. But yeah, that's kind of him in a nutshell. He's just his own dude and he's doing what he does. And, you know, maybe that's the definition of someone who's not a poser, is someone who just does what he loves and is true to himself.
Do you honestly believe that?
No.
We're putting a bow on it. Thank you so much for joining us today, Brenicide, and thank you so much for joining us, Jose Mangan.
Oh, yeah, no fucking problem, man. I just want you to name this riff, bro. Bam, now, 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 now. Fucking Mangan out, bro. Yeah, Slayer.
We'll see you next week, everybody.
listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.